This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Dunk.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Good morning and welcome to episode 3-2 of the Down to Dunk podcast. I'm Luke, joined this morning by Taylor.
Hi.
Jay.
Hello.
And Andrew.
Andrew.
What's up, dudes?
What is
What's up?
What's up?
The Thunder have been really good for the most part until last night after the trade. Post-trade Thunder still shooting after the All-Star break, which is now only 4 games. They have the best three-point percentage in the NBA. The
yeah.
43.8%. You know who's number two?
Bulls.
Nope.
Orlando.
Kangs.
Kangs.
Kangs. The Kings are Kangs. 43%. Well, and then odd. The Blazers, then the Heat, then the Bulls? Small sample size if I've ever heard one.
Oh.
So they came out.
I've seen smaller.
They've played.
All right.
So last Friday night, let's just take a brief minute.
Let's do it.
Just to talk about how incredible our night at Elgin Park in Tulsa was.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for everyone that came. Lots of people came. It was really cool. Kind of overwhelming to us.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I went to Club She.
Club She?
Club She?
Tell us about it.
The nightclub was fun.
Tell us about it.
They had an aerialist.
Oh, that's okay. Cool.
Oh.
Wait, yeah. A sexy aerialist?
Yeah, kind of.
Aerialist?
Whoa, man.
Oh, whoa.
But it was very cool in Tulsa. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was really good. And
it was.
And the fact that some of you that are listening came out and watched us do a podcast and talked to us and hung out with us. I mean, it was overwhelming in the sense that we just are so surprised by the fact that we have such great fans and
yes.
People that listen to us. And I also want to say this, and I saw this on Twitter, is some of you that did come out or would like to come out are nervous about talking to us.
Let's talk.
The level of nervous that you have is minuscule compared to the awkwardness that we bring to any conversation. And so come and say hi to us.
Please.
If you want to say hi to us, we can always use more friends because the only friends we have are the four of us. And so
love you guys. I love you guys.
Please.
I need you.
You guys are my best friends.
But seriously, just overwhelmed by the appreciation. that we received.
For real.
We enjoyed it a lot.
It was so good that we all gathered in the parking lot and cried together right afterward.
Yeah.
It was very so
emotional.
Oh my God.
All right. We're over the top now. So
all
right,
next.
The, no.
Next,
so
the Thunder of... The Thunder have come out of the All-Star break. They played the Lakers that Friday night. They played New Orleans, and they played Utah and Portland. Utah win was huge. Oh, New Orleans was one of the most enjoyable wins. I don't know why. I think it was just the game and the way that Russ dunked on the entire city of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then they played last night and lost to Portland. And again, they kind of up and down controlled. They just didn't engage from the beginning, and you can kind of tell that. And I have some thoughts on that game here in a minute. But the Utah win was huge. And really, the biggest... It's funny. All of these extra players and new guy, the two guys, have been huge. But the change has been like a renewed Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
He's been playing at a level even higher than what he had been playing for the rest
faster.
Of the season.
He's trying to get in transition more. He's getting to the basket more. He's been absolutely incredible, especially in that Utah game. There were parts where you're just like, wow, I forget that he's that fast. Mm-hmm. Even last night, there were a couple points where he did that, and no one can stop him. No one.
And there's going to be points, and I think that this is just a nice pause and reflect, is that there will be a point in 10, 15 years when he's retired and we look back and we don't...
Am I going to cry?
No, we just don't recognize how great... Russell Westbrook was.
He's great. Recognize it. Let's try to.
Recognize it. That's what I'm saying. Recognize.
Let's try to live. Oh, let's try to live in the moment.
That's too tense.
Let's try to live in the moment.
Let's live in it.
Can we talk about the MVP race a little bit?
No.
Yeah.
Can we talk about
the MVPR, but go on.
The ridiculousness of people downplaying the triple-double. It's absurd.
And it's happening.
It's happening a lot. There are a lot of people that are downplaying his rebounds. They want to, but he has 60 uncontested rebounds. Those shouldn't even count. Like, when are we going to, are we going to stop counting, like, uncontested shots now?
Yeah.
Like, Steph Curry, oh, man, he's had too many uncontested shots this year. So has Kevin Durant. They're uncontested. You know, that's just like shooting in an empty gym. You know, a fast break layup, too easy. Shouldn't count it. Like, I don't understand not counting that. The Thunder need Russell Westbrook to rebound so they can play fast. When the Thunder don't play fast, they're really bad.
Yeah.
Right? Their half-court offense is basically non-existent.
It's gotten better.
It's gotten a little bit better, but it's still one of the worst half-court offenses in the league. And if the Thunder don't play fast, they can't win. So they need Steven Adams to box out anybody that he can so Russ can grab the rebound and go. Even on free throws, whatever it is, he needs those uncontested rebounds so that they can play fast. And that's a part of the game plan. It's not just that Russ is like, hey, you know what? I could really use another triple-double, Steven Adams. Just box out for me so I can grab the rebound. It's a team strategy. It's a winning strategy. And the Thunder have been incredible this season because of it. So to like say that you shouldn't count that or, oh, it doesn't take much effort to get those. And maybe it doesn't, but it's also a team strategy.
So what is the argument for Harden from those people who say that uncontested rebounds shouldn't?
The same people that are, they're just saying efficiency, which yeah. I understand. And I get it. But to downplay someone averaging a triple-double, which has only happened one other time in NBA history.
Yeah.
One other time.
I was telling Bryce, one time I was looking at Michael Jordan like career stats, this is three seasons ago or something, and I specifically remember seeing the season he averaged like 32-8-8, or it was something like that, right? I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. I can't believe someone could average that in like a smaller guard or whatever. Yeah. 8-8, wow, he almost got a triple-double. And I was like, Russ is really averaging, what, 31-10-10?
Yes. 31-10-10, leading the league in scoring and averaging a triple double.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, everybody thought, like, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be LeBron James.
Yeah.
And then no one else can do it. And here, Russell Westbrook, he's actually doing it. And the fact that people think that it's not that big a deal is astounding.
Yeah.
He's made it normal. That's the problem.
Right. He's made it normal on like a night to night basis for himself.
It's just, yeah. That's the weird part though, is that that's still not normal in the relevant.
Yeah. Steak is the greatest food in the world until you eat it every single night. And then you're just like, oh, it's just a piece of cow.
And that's, I think that feeling is different. Like Thunder fans,
that's a really great analogy.
I'm actually really thinking about that analogy and saying
just a piece of a cow.
True.
It's true.
Profound.
Great steak analogy.
I think that feeling of like, oh, like it's not that big a deal to Thunder fans is fine, but the downplaying of it is what I don't get. I get the it doesn't feel that special.
I think as it gets closer to the end of the season, to where it gets closer to the fact like he actually is going to do this.
Yeah,
it's not like, oh, can he do it? It's like, oh, like in five games, if he plays as he's continued to do, he will do this. I think the momentum for his MVP campaign will really ramp up.
Yeah.
It should.
So
you're right.
So a statistic that I would bring out to anybody that wants to downplay this is the fact that their win percentage when Russell Westbrook has a triple-double is overwhelmingly positive. And you look at the game last night where he was more like a lot of other players in the NBA, more as a DeMar DeRozan kind of night, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The team struggles when he is not distributing the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't remember here, I could pull it up, but he did not have the assist. I think he ended up with six.
Kind of like a chicken or the egg thing too.
Yeah. With this with this game last night.
Well, it's also like, are his teammates hitting shots?
That's true.
And they most of the team was not playing well. At all.
What's crazy is, oh, they still shot 11 of 29, and Russ made six of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And some of that is because, and we can talk a little bit about this once we move on from the MVP conversation, but it is the heart, and you said it yesterday, it's a lot of people trying to play the you know, kind of, oh, what did you say?
Contrarian role.
Yeah, the contrarian, yeah. Right? Like, oh, well, that Tom Haberstroh piece was so stupid.
It was so bad. And the thing is, it's, a lot of people are going to watch that, and a lot of people are going to take that and believe it. What he doesn't talk about is that he's playing with the second youngest team in the NBA who play better yeah. at home, right? They hit a better percentage of their shots at home, and that's a fact, too. And he doesn't talk about that. He acts like the statisticians in the Chesapeake Arena are giving him a bump, which is just absurd.
That's where the statistics, like statistics in a vacuum, don't work.
Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous.
And then
the box out thing.
Like, yeah, you watched in the video he's watching, you see Steven Adams turn his back to the rim and press, yeah. I don't remember who it was, but block him out that way. So that Russ can get it, and you said it, and start the fast break.
Get it and go.
It's intentional.
And let's say there's a lot of uncontested rebounds on free throws. So if a guy is averaging, like Anthony Davis is averaging like 22 and 10 right now, he probably gets those kind of rebounds. Are we going to take those away from him too? Mm-hmm. Like, I've never heard of somebody taking away rebounds from somebody because they're quote unquote uncontested. I think that's.
That's really weird.
It's crazy.
And do you remember when Rondo was good? This is when he was still on the Celtics and he was getting triple doubles, not nearly at this rate that sure. Russ is getting him, but he would have 15 rebound nights like Russ was getting.
Yeah.
And it was for the same reason, because they had their big boys down there and he was coming yeah. in and getting the rebound and going on the fast break. And that was part of their game plan.
Yeah.
And people were like, man, Rondo had, you know, 12, 15 and 12 tonight. That's incredible. He's one of the best point guards in the league. And he got a lot of recognition. Those are the same kind of rebounds he was yeah. getting. And
should we stop counting the assists where Russ is on the fast break
yeah.
ahead of everybody? Vic's right behind him and he just shuffles it to
that's
Vic
an uncontested assist.
Some people would say yes.
Should they stop counting that?
Uncontested assist.
People who would say yes are dummies.
I know. But I'm saying, like, if you don't count those, then you should also count the ones where it's a perfect pass that somebody misses a shot they should make, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They counted in potential assists.
Yeah, potential assists.
Now it's a stat. But it's just,
we're not going to count tap out rebounds anymore.
Yeah,
those aren't a thing anymore.
They didn't grab it.
Yeah, that's a no possession rebound. That goes to the game.
I don't know. I just think people need to stop trying to nitpick everything.
Yeah,
let's just enjoy it.
Man. Yeah,
this is fun.
This is really fun.
It's an incredible season. One of the best seasons by an individual player ever. And if we just spend our time nitpicking it and just thinking that it's not that great, or trying to find, like, let me find the most minuscule stat to say that Russell Westbrook isn't that great. Like, come on.
Quit being a friggin' dweeb nerd.
I'll tell you who's appreciating the MVP race between Harden and Russ is the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
When the narrative at the beginning of the season is like, why even play if you have Golden State the way they are in Cleveland just you know, loading up their arsenal? The fact that you have these two guys going Nova has been really fun for the league. The other thing I will say about this is the fact that Russell Westbrook, the thing that elevates him in my mind is the way, and I don't know, maybe you can correct me, because Mike Greenberg, and I don't know, I think this is before last Friday, so Mike Greenberg, Mike and Mike on ESPN's In the Morning, started saying that he's wavering on Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
He's wavering on Russ as the MVP because he's seen the Cavs without LeBron, and he knows how bad they are without LeBron. Which I know he's not. He wasn't definitive on the point. He wasn't just like, this is what I stand for.
Sure.
But if you were to look at any of those teams, is there a team that goes from a playoff team to a lottery team quicker? Or further than the Oklahoma City Thunder without Russell Westbrook?
No, it would be atrocious. Because they don't have anybody to create. Like, they've got some good pieces. Like, Adams is a good piece. Cantor's a good piece. But when you just have them and you don't have anybody creating around them, like, who's the best point guard? Norris Cole now?
Yeah.
If you have Norris Cole playing 35 minutes a night, we saw what that was like with the Pelicans last year. Mm-hmm. It was awful.
He was pretty good last night.
He was good. You want to talk about Norris Cole?
Yeah.
Norris Cole's good, y'all. He's a good backup point guard.
He came in last night, his first two possessions, he played just the most incredible defense that I've ever seen from a point guard.
He's fast, man.
He's quick.
That's what I remember.
And then he hit the three, and I'm like, all right. Sold.
You're in.
He's in. Even if he misses every shot from here on out, it's like, wow, he's better than Kostinler forever.
Hey, guys, we've been talking about the MVP, which is a prestigious award. Let's give out another prestigious award.
A more prestigious award.
Some would argue more prestigious.
It's debatable. It's debatable. We don't inflate or deflate statistics.
We do not.
In this award.
We give it to those who deserve it. We're talking about a coop beer.
We're giving them a coop.
And the Buy That Guy a Coop segment that we do every week that you guys know and love.
Do we say it prestigious?
We say it prestigious.
I say prestigious.
I say prestigious?
Yeah. I say prestigious.
Well, you guys.
You sound like a pompous person.
I wanted
Luke to feel validated.
I think time will tell that you guys are the dummies and I am the smarty.
You sound like a pretentious dweeb.
You sound like a prestigious dude.
Who are we buying a coupe for?
I mean, it seems pretty obvious. It's hard because Russell Westbrook deserves it without a question. But... there's one play last night that makes me change my mind. Taj Gibson at the end of the first half hit the craziest 3/4 court shot I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it came from a pass from Pat Connington.
Who is a guy that looks like he should be doing your taxes.
It's a prestigious.
It looks very prestigious.
Throw and catch. And it wasn't even just like a baseball heave. He chunked it, and it went so high.
I think it was Michael Lee on Twitter this morning. He said, "I can't believe that a shot that the people on the upper deck had to look up for, ended up going into
it
was
crazy."
Yeah, and I think it's what's funny is we're doing exactly what most of the national media does for Russ. Is it's just like
normalized triple doubles?
Yeah, he's been phenomenal for so long that it's like, well, can we just give it to somebody else? Is there a chance we give it to somebody else?
Fatigue.
So who do you guys give it to?
Fatigue. I was thinking Taj too. I think because Russ has too many beers. He's way too drunk.
Wasted.
We need him to be a little sober, a little more sober. But I think Taj too. He's come in and immediately had a huge impact on this team.
It makes me want to figure out a way to resign him. I love what he brings to this team, man.
Blame you. Luke's right on prestigious.
Let's talk about...
I am the smarty, and you are the dummy.
But you also can pronounce it prestigious.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
So we are the smarties.
Which way do you feel smarter saying?
Prestigious.
Prestigious.
Nerds.
Prestigious.
All right, let's move on to some tiki.
Hold on.
What are we going to buy him?
Oh, yeah. Taj is an older gentleman.
Yeah. Oh, he maybe has a little bit of a more refined palate.
He enjoys the fun.
A very prestigious beer.
Grand Sport.
For a prestigious man.
Grand Sport Porter. The Grand Sport Porter.
Is that prestigious?
It's a prestigious beer. Grand Sport Porter.
I think darker beers like porters are probably more of a more refined palate. Unless it's one like if you can do that Imperial Stout they came out with.
Yeah.
If we can get one of those out of the
speaking of prestigious
back of the brewery.
It's Imperial. Imperial Stout. Footage.
All right. Now let's move on to some TQs.
Twitter questions.
You remind me of Tom Haverford then.
Aziz. It was a little on purpose.
Tom Haverstro?
Yeah. No.
First. Tom Haverstro.
First Twitter question comes from Matt Jordan Moore 2-1. Who wants to know, do you think we'll get to a place where no teams trade with OKC because they're suspicious of Presti taking everything?
I don't think so.
No, I get where this is coming from because the last two trades he has just stolen from everybody.
Great.
But also there's a lot of people that would say that you know, there's been trades in the past where he hasn't. And he also had a guy leave that without getting anything back, right? So he kind of held too long on that one. But I think that Presti's a really good GM.
He's good.
And he's completely undervalued.
Yeah. And you cannot hold the... You cannot even argue about KD.
No.
Yeah.
Like, you can't trade KD.
Yeah. He would have gotten murdered.
Yeah.
Like, people would have thought he was the worst ever.
He may have actually been murdered by... Yeah.
Like, there's no trade that people would have been like, well, that's a good value.
But you also got to think... So as part of that, I didn't mean to bring this up because we're not going back to July of last year, but the thing is Presti was under the assumption all the way up till about a week before that he was coming back.
Right.
Or he would have made the move.
Well, right.
That's because KD's a liar. I don't have any question that he wouldn't fear the public, you know, repercussions of moving that if he felt like he really
He's already traded James Harden.
Yeah. Which wasn't as big. It's way bigger in hindsight than it was probably then.
Yes.
He will pay for it for the rest of his career.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care. He's just listening to jazz music, sitting in Starbucks.
And our podcast. He's a huge fan.
Whole Foods.
Where else do you see him? Just Whole Foods and coffee shops. That's the only place he goes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's the only place I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that people are going to stop trading with us? The answer? No. All around, no.
No.
Nope. All right, next Twitter question.
There will always be dumb GMs.
People still trade with Masai Ujiri, right?
Who's just been like robbing people blind for 15 years.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Sure.
He's a magician.
He's a swindler. Oh. He also targets the worst GMs in the league. Phoenix, Orlando, right? That's who he got his players from.
Gotcha. Orlando just gets bone-donged all the time.
They do.
All right, our next Twitter question comes from @J_Dub_25, who wants to know or says that Victor's out again tonight. Should we start to be worried about these back spasms?
No, I don't think so. I think they're just being precautionary with him. So I would not be concerned. I'll just say that.
Yep. Don't be concerned. He'll be back. Maybe tonight.
Back spasms.
Maybe tomorrow. He didn't make the trip, so...
Oh, I guess he wouldn't just take like a commercial flight to Phoenix, but
that would be cool.
They won't.
Not tonight.
He might play the Mavericks on Sunday.
He might play against the Mavs.
What commercial airline would he use if he was to do a commercial flight?
Delta.
They're Delta people, man.
Really?
That's what they fly their charters with.
Yeah.
Ugh.
They got the
American. Ugh, gross.
I will say this. There's been this tide change because of Abrinas being really good in the last few games.
Yeah.
Last night is the reminder that Abrinas is still a very skinny mini, a thin Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
Skinny mini,
a thin Lizzie.
Yeah, he is a thin Lizzie.
And he has problems on defense still. And Vic changed that game last night.
Yeah.
And CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard.
Lillard.
Are really hard to guard.
Yeah, they are.
And Abrinas was bad in the Utah game, too, defensively.
But he was so good offensively.
But he was so good offensively that you kind of overlook it.
And there wasn't anybody that's just, like, overwhelming on offense for him to guard against Utah.
Right.
Rodney Hood was the only one that would have given him problems.
Yeah, and he's not...
He's pretty limited.
He's good, but he's not a guy that's going to do like
he's not
CJ
McCollum,
does.
Right. I think that Abrinas... So, I know Andrew watched it. Did you guys watch it? It was a late game, man. It was like 4.5 hours ago.
It was
that ended because TNT. So for me, it's when I watched that game. Also, like Abrinas still, even though he played limited minutes because he got in foul trouble and they trusted Doug McBuckets over him, McThunder Buckets. He hit a enormous 3-point. The Thunder had
shot.
A chance. So they went down by like 6, got down by 9 with like a minute.
Yeah.
And they got within one possession.
1 point.
They got within one possession of winning that game.
Yeah.
What happened?
They just couldn't make a three. They were down 3 and Russ got a perfect look.
It was incredible. It was a great
look.
And
just missed it. And it was there too.
Was it out of a timeout?
Yeah.
Oh, Billy D.
It was really good. Like, and some of that's defensive. I don't know who it was, Mo Harkless or something. Somebody just didn't
just
fight through a pick.
It was a good screen, and he just missed it.
Yeah.
Man. Wow, you guys are bumming me out. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. Comes from @ColeMundo, who wants to know if KD is out during the first round and Golden State falls to the 2 spot, do the Thunder have a chance?
KD's out. All right, I'll be quiet.
Yeah. So KD is out. What they're saying, 4 weeks, right?
4 weeks, he'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks.
I'm still hearing a lot of people that have that know way more than us that think that 4 weeks is a very, very liberal timetable in the sense that it could be 6, it could be 8.
Especially for him.
Well, you look at guys like Rudy Gobert had a bone bruise very similar to this last season, and he just wasn't the same guy for the rest of the season. They said that he would have good days and bad days. David Locke talked about this. He does the radio for Utah. He talked about how he had this bone bruise.
He's really good.
And he wasn't the same. And so there's a concern that when he does come back, that he won't be 100%.
I'm not concerned about that.
And I think you've seen, so they lost the game that he went down. They lose to the Wizards, but they played
pretty well.
Pretty well. Came back from 19 down. Last night they played Chicago, and they have, if Steph isn't Steph,
if he's not Nova Steph,
they have problems. And they're going to have, yeah, the team that I would be the most worried about if I'm the Warriors, if Kevin Durant is not 100%, the Houston Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will score.
They just have lots of guys that can just fill it up.
And they're not as bad defensively as you would assume with the team. I think they're, I saw a red sum and I don't remember what statistic it was, but it was their 12th in defensive efficiency maybe. And yeah, the Thunder have a lot. It's hard to make up two or three games this late in the season. Yeah. They can do it, but you need teams to kind of hit a slide and start falling apart a little bit. I think that the Thunder could catch Memphis if you want that six seed. I think they can.
I think they will.
Maybe get the five.
What are they? What are they? Game and a half away from.
They would have been tied with Memphis
if they won.
If they won last night. So they, I think that they'll pass Memphis for sure. I think they'll get the six seed.
So you're looking at a Rockets Thunder first round.
It'll be so fun.
That will be insane.
Be really fun.
And it's pretty close. The Thunder are going to need to play incredible 3-point defense, which I think that they can now, especially when they get Victor back. And you have Taj Gibson, who, I mean, he can guard Ariza. He can guard, you know, whoever's out there, Ryan Anderson.
So they're a game and a half out of five.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's even, what are they for four? Like,
so they're game and a half, well, two games.
Two games out of four. I mean, it's not impossible for them to get up there. It's going to be really close. When it comes down to it, it's going to be, you know, the last couple of days of the regular season, and we're going to be like, we don't know what seed the Thunder are going to have because, you know, the Jazz are just weird. Like, they lost two games in a row. And based on, like, their stats and how good they are, they shouldn't be doing that. But they do sometimes. We don't know what to expect out of Memphis. The Clippers have been pretty bad.
Even with everybody back, they're still not finding there.
And I expect them to be better than that, but the Thunder are good. The Thunder are really good. Last night, they did not play a good game. Steven Adams was awful. If Steven Adams is just average, they win that game pretty easily. Jusuf Nurkic doesn't just tear apart the whole world.
I mean, he went nuts.
Dude, he's...
He was awesome.
They were so hyped for that game, Portland was.
Yeah, and they, I mean, they needed that game really bad. Yes. If they're going to stay in the race at all, and it feels like they're out of it, but if they're going to be in it at all, they've got to start winning games.
What are they, 25-35 now?
26-35?
25-35. Jeez. I mean, they're out of the race. That's really, really bad.
But the eighth spot is just that bad.
Ugh. Yeah, the Thunder are seven games out of the eight.
Yeah.
So right now, the eight seed is the eighth seed is the Nuggets at 28-33.
Jeez.
So they're 2.5 back from the 8 seed that the Trailblazers are. And let's just go ahead and throw the Pelicans out. Like, they're not going to make up four games.
Not with DeMarcus Cousins being suspended every other game for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Actually, the only game they've won since the trade is the game that he was suspended. So maybe that helps. Huh.
But do the Thunder have a better chance? So just Andrew and Colt.
Yeah, of course they have a better chance without Durant.
Yeah.
I think that it
changed the landscape of the whole entire playoffs.
Right.
Like, and I still think the Golden State has a really good shot of coming out of the West.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. But the Spurs and the Rockets' eyes widen a little bit more. Yeah, like, course. Those are the two
teams.
I think
everybody's do just a little bit.
Yeah, everybody up in, you know, 2 through 7, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
We could do something. I think the Thunder, they're a good team. Post-trade, this is a solid team.
And it's a team that, with Russell Westbrook, you feel like any game they play, they're going to have a chance.
They're going to have a chance. And if Steph Curry is not Nova Steph Curry without Durant, mm-hmm. they're going to have problems.
Yeah, and what they had to get rid of to get Durant is all their depth.
Yeah.
So they're just not a deep team anymore.
Yeah, their best bench players are Iggy and Sean Livingston.
And they're very good, but that's pretty much...
They're not as good as they've been in the past either.
No.
They're relying on David West a lot.
Well, and Zaza Pachulia.
The biggest thing that, so for an Oklahoma, if we're talking matchups, and we're going to see it here, they play each other, it's not too far from now, I don't have my schedule pulled up, but they play each other on a Monday in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And which is a very random time to play them. But what you're going to see, and this is what's important for this Warriors team, is Durant was their defense.
He was incredible.
He was playing his best defensive season maybe ever. And he was their rim protector.
He's just as important as Draymond Green on defense for them.
Yeah, I was going to say Draymond Green is still...
He's their anchor.
Is still their
But
their
Durant
defender.
Is playing phenomenal defense.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And he was basically their... I mean, he is their biggest player. He's...
Yeah, he's 7 feet tall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think when you see... It's on Monday, the 20th of March. When you see Golden State and Oklahoma City playing, like, I think Russ is going to get to the rim.
Mm-hmm. At will.
At will. And that's a problem, especially when you start playing the Rockets. I think they could still defend the Spurs pretty relatively well because they're such a perimeter-oriented, you know, and they do slash and they do a lot of that. But when you start looking at some of these teams that have these ball-dominant...
Well, you also, you look at who's going to defend Kawhi. Are they going to... You're going to play Iguodala?
You put Clay on him, I guess.
Iggy and Clay, yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
If Clay Thompson's going to have to, you know, play that hard.
Right. And with KD out, Clay's not getting the open looks that he's been getting all season, too.
The space is kind of gone.
Yeah. Life's about to get way harder for Clay Thompson.
And I think the Warriors are going to, obviously, they're going to be fine. They have three All-NBA players still on their team. Like, they're going to, last night is not going to be like the rest of their season. They're going to, Steph Curry and Clay Thompson are going to hit three pointers. Like, they just missed a lot. But it definitely changes, everything without the second best player in the world. Duh.
Yeah. Right.
Spin zone. I'm not that mad about it.
You're not that mad about it? Or you're not that mad about it?
I'm not that mad about it.
Okay.
Spin zone?
Yeah.
Spin zone?
Yeah, I'm happy that bad things happen to them because I don't like them.
So you're not that mad about it.
Shut up. Next Twitter question.
Hey, don't tell people how to
respond. You shut up even more than Andrew shut up.
Oh, yeah, you sound like the smarty.
You shut up the most.
Yeah, you really sound like the prestigious smarty.
Prestigious.
Shut up, you're making me mad.
Just read the next question.
Our next Twitter question comes from at Gregory Thomp, who wants to know, have the Thunder officially won the Reggie Jackson Enes Kanter trade?
They won it a while ago, baby.
Absolutely.
Yes. And it looked questionable for a while. Reggie Jackson was good until he wasn't. He's been really bad. He hasn't been closing games for the Pistons.
They hate him. He's a terrible point guard.
They wanted to trade him
for DJ Augustine. And
that was one of the rumors. The Timberwolves did not want to do a Ricky Rubio for Reggie Jackson trade, which a couple of years ago, obviously the T-Wolves say yes to that. It's been pretty bad. I know that he's coming back from an injury. I think he's got like knee tendonitis or something like that. So that could be a part of it. But it's also like his attitude has always been a problem. He thinks that he's the best player in the world. He says that he wants to be the best player in the world, which is just not physically possible for him. He takes a lot of bad shots. His defense is awful. And his canter on the other end he's improved. He's a really, really good player now. His passing has improved. We talked about that all season. His defense isn't atrocious anymore. He's still probably one of the worst center defenders in the league, but it's not like it was. He's very good. Can score on the basket. He was huge for the Thunder last night. He was the reason that they were even in it.
Yep.
He played really well last night.
And if you're talking about reputations, Reggie has kind of fallen back into what we saw of Reggie, right? He's just being who we knew Reggie was being. Right. And Enes, on the other hand, he hasn't had any of the issues that we heard from, like, when he was at Utah.
Yeah. The attitude problems.
Right.
He comes off the bench.
Yeah.
I know the Thunder are paying him a lot of money, but he's coming off the bench.
No, but he's never had an attitude problem.
Not in OKC.
No.
Attitude reflects leadership, Captain. Remember the Titans?
That perfect. I mean, kind of, yeah. I mean, that's a perfect analogy. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Nice work.
Movies.
Thanks, movies.
Cheers.
Clink.
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 Clink. He's got Russ. He's got Russ, and Russ treats him right.
Oh, gosh, I thought you were just going to throw coffee all over.
Yeah.
Forceful cheers.
Forceful cheers. Watch out. Me and Andrew used to do a thing called forceful cheers where we both have like glass balls and cheers them just pretty hard.
Really hard.
Really hard. And we had to stop because glass bottles, when you hit them against stuff too hard, they shatter and cut open hands.
Cut people open.
That's exactly what happened.
That happened. And we do forceful cheers with the person not knowing it's coming.
Yes. Oh, okay, okay. Like, okay. Hey, you just have a bottle coming at them.
You just run at them. Forceful cheers.
We had to stop. We don't do it anymore.
We did. We stopped.
Can I do it to you guys?
Nope.
Next live pod, come forceful cheers us.
Oh, God. Let's shatter some pint glasses. Yeah. Let's get banned from restaurants. Our next Twitter question is going to be really tough for me. It is from @thattruetalk, who wants to know, what is the percentage chance that Russ gets 11 more triple doubles to hit 41 and tie Oscar Robertson for the most in season and Wilt Chamberlain for all time?
Pretty high.
80%. Yeah. Like these, I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to at least tie it. He may beat it. And he's going to average a triple double, and it's going to be
very underwhelming.
Incredible.
No, people are going to be excited.
He's going to be the first uncontested MVP ever, so he's going to have a star by his name.
That's right.
See it.
He's just going to take it. He's just going to grab it.
Doesn't count. Got too many rebounds. Doesn't count.
The picture of him looking at the MVP trophy.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see that coming back from Kevin on it when he's just, like, staring at it. That's going to come back, and I feel like his momentum for it will ramp up here.
Yeah, real quick. I hope he wins it, and I hope that everybody makes, like, prints off that picture and just holds that picture over their face the whole time that Russ is doing the speech.
All right, our next one.
I know what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do?
That.
Russ's speech. I can't talk about it. Man. Go, go, go.
Okay, our next Twitter question, to get too emotional, comes from @KyleVolkler. Who wants to know or says tomorrow will be the first and probably last time he sits courtside at a game. If you had courtside seats, what would you make sure you did? He, this guy's just bragging.
So if you're close, if you're close to either of the benches, you need to ask whoever's doing the equipment stuff if you can have something.
They say yes.
Will they do it?
Sometimes they will. Yes. They'll give you like a shooting shirt or something.
You or like ask. A sweaty towel.
Just ask. You might get something.
Hey, you know what the worst thing that they could say? No.
Right. You got to ask. You also have to make sure you take advantage of the free food. This is at least at the Chesapeake. I'm sure it's the same in Phoenix. You got to go. It's usually like underneath the arena or something, or there's like some kind of like suite for the people that have these courtside seats. Make sure you go and get that. Also, make sure you go at halftime, because they have a little dessert and a little coffee that you can take on back to your seat.
Mm. The other thing I will say is get there early. Like, enjoy.
Get there early.
Don't show up right at the game, because you get to watch them warm up.
Yes.
And that's when a lot of times they'll be more willing to go and talk to fans or hang out with fans. Not always, but sometimes. The thing, so have we all sat at least somewhat relatively close? Have you sat courtside before?
No,
I haven't.
I've sat like three rows back.
So I've sat courtside a few times, and I know Andrew has, and, mm-hmm. and courtside is not like, maybe not the front row, but you're close enough. I remember I was that close for a game they played, and maybe it was when Mozgov played in Denver. It's the first time you recognize that, that not only are these guys the most athletic people in the world, they're also gigantic.
It's crazy.
You don't realize it from even further up in the 100 sections or even in the 200, it doesn't really make sense.
It looks like a different game.
You stand next to a guy. So Timofey Mozgov was the guy that I sat there and I said, that guy is gigantic.
Yes.
Gigantic. So just take it in, man. It's an experience you rarely get. None of us are millionaires, you know, but anytime you get the chance to do it, it's just, you got to soak it.
Man, what I really realized was how little of room there actually is on the court when you're down there.
Yeah.
Like from above, you can kind of see the space on the court, but really when you're down there eye level, They are working in like the tightest spaces, and they're like the length of these guys really takes up a lot of room.
It's not that amazing. Much bigger than, I mean, they are a little bigger than like high school courts, but they're, it's still it's like, a normal,
yeah,
size court.
It's a small,
it's basketball.
And if there's a call you don't like, just go out on the court, argue it.
Yeah.
They like you. They don't care.
Yeah, sitting on the front, you can literally just go out to the middle of the court whenever you want to.
When that lady did that, cause she was like, thought she was dating one of the players and just ran out on the court. This was a few years ago.
I don't think she thought she was dating. I think she was just a crazy person.
Well, it was wild. But do that.
Dude,
if you block a shot, if you block a shot and it looks really good, sometimes you get 10-day contracts.
And they have to pay you. They have to pay you because technically you're a player.
Right. Technically you worked for them.
Yeah.
The first time I sat courtside, I went to, this was pre-Miami Heat, pre-LeBron Miami Heat in OKC. And I was just going to see if I could get tickets for the game just from a scalper or something. And there weren't like any value seats. So we're walking away. And there was this guy standing there holding these two tickets. And I just walk up to him like, how much are you selling your tickets for? And he was like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know. There's no face value on them. He was like, you want to do like 35 a piece? And he like handed them to me. And they were courtside seats.
What?
And I said, how about 25?
No, you didn't.
And he said, yes.
And he said, yes. And we walk in, and I didn't know like how close they were, and we just kept walking further and further down. And you're just like, oh my gosh.
That's incredible.
It was crazy. So they were like center court, court side, not the second row back. They weren't like on the front
still
row.
Still second row.
But it was like, it was crazy.
For 50 bucks?
So there's
for
a
50 bones.
I have a friend that has like two or three seats from the court on the floor, and randomly, like, we're not very good friends anymore, so it doesn't really happen, but I would go,
Bridge burned. You're listening, guy. Not as good friends anymore.
So
probably not listening because you're not friends.
So
I'm sorry to this guy.
They used to have this thing, and I had a friend that worked at the Thunder, and they had this thing called seat fillers back in the day.
Yes.
And if you get in with Loud City and you know the right people, they would do seat fillers. And so basically back in the day, and I don't know if it's the same, but you used to, like, at the beginning of the games, they had to have every front row seat full. And so they would grab random Loud City fans and put them on the floor.
Yeah.
And then if the people that own the seat show up, they would ask you to leave. And if they didn't, you would just stay there. And so there's my buddy. I had another buddy that worked at Thunder in guest relations. And he, I don't know, found one of the AP photographers or the Thunder pictures. There's a picture, and I've got to find it. It's when James Harden was still here, and they're playing the Spurs.
Oh, wow.
And I have that orange James Harden shirt, and it's me looking up, and Russell Westbrook is jumping for a three-point shot. Like, right, I could almost touch him.
Yeah.
Man, it's a different world, man.
It is a different world.
I want to hear them talking trash.
There's a lot of trash talk.
Oh, I want to hear them
talking
trash.
A lot of F-words.
I got to sit on, like, the very front row when they... when the Thunder played the Hornets, and it was the Lance Stevenson season.
Oh, I love this story.
And I just got to watch nobody interact with him the whole game and him, like, really trying to talk to people. Also, during that game, what was that guy's name? He, like, was giving my wife the eye during the game. The guy who had the domestic violence thing against him.
On the Pelicans?
On the Hornets. Oh, what's his name?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Go on.
Also, the other thing, make good friends with the rich people around you because you can get more courtside tickets and a job maybe or something else.
There's just a lot of benefits.
They just hand out $100 bills.
They have a lot of money on them. Next.
They'll always buy your meals.
Kyle, search through that whole entire response and find at least one thing that actually is real.
Yeah, I love talking
about there's some bad advice.
That.
Start at the beginning, probably.
No, it's all good. Take it. Next. Also, try to entice one of the rich people to fight you so you can sue them, get some of that money.
Yeah.
Next Twitter question.
Luke's a lawyer.
Comes from at Kyle Platt, who wants to know, does it make more sense to just sign everyone and have assets than letting Robertson or Gibson walk for nothing?
It's all on the ownership.
Do they want to spend the money? Do they want to get in the tax?
They want to be a tax team if they're fine with that. And Ham and I talked about that. You just because you sign guys in the offseason doesn't mean you're automatically a tax team. If you get rid of them before the end of the season or after during the trade deadline, then you're fine. So they could like re-sign Taj Gibson. And then at the trade deadline, if they would rather get rid of him and keep Kanter, they could trade him for like a first round pick. And I'm sure somebody would want him like on their playoff roster or something.
What's a number that Taj Gibson makes sense at? Like, what do you think he's going to demand somewhere? 12?
12 to 15 mm-hmm. million, just mm-hmm. depending. I mean, it just takes one team to make an offer, right?
And he, yeah. And he's a power forward who can start or at least play 30 minutes a game, you know, for old. Anyone.
So that's part of it. He's 32.
31?
31.
So, I mean, there's I think there's question marks for somebody paying him 4 years. And I think Han talked about maybe the 3 million or 3 year range, but I think he turned that down. He wants the longest contract for the most money he can get.
It's like 2 or 3 years.
But then, I don't know, does he want to go play in Charlotte? For a team that's going to be mediocre.
Look at Tyson Chandler. Like, look at the contract that was just thrown at him. And he was older and more hurt than Taj has ever been.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Tyson Chandler hates his life, though.
Yeah, he does. But players will take that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, money. Like, yeah. At this point in their career, money is probably more important than...
He's 32 in June.
I'll be 26 in June.
Happy birthday.
You're like
thank you.
Thank you, Taj Gibson and Taylor.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. June. Thank you.
So do you want to pay him when he's 36? Do you want to pay him $15 million when he's 36?
You don't have to, though.
I probably do just because I love him so much.
He's great.
But I'm not a GM, and I can't make decisions without being emotionally tied to things.
He's really good.
And you can give someone a four-year contract, pay him for 2 years, and then just trade him. It's that easy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
just trade him when you're done paying him.
The Bulls couldn't even get a first-round pick for him now.
Yeah.
Just trade him away.
Him away.
I don't know. And also, you have to look at, like, what do they think about Jeremy Grant? What do they think about Domantas Sabonis? Mm-hmm. Like, if they expect those guys to develop and to be bigger pieces in the rotation next year, then I don't think that you trade, or I don't think you re-sign Taj Gibson. That's why it kind of makes sense for him just to be a rental.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, he helps now, going forward. But if you think Sabonis can be that guy next year, then you don't re-sign him. So I think that if they don't re-sign him, I think it's a signal that either they're moving in a different direction or that Sabonis is like ready.
Mm-hmm.
Our next Twitter question.
You're a yawning man.
From Ben at Ben Pants, who wants to
ben
know
at Ben Pants
at Ben Pants, who says scientists have discovered a parallel reality where the Thunder traded for a healthy Rudy Gay in November. What is their record?
I don't know that it's that different than it is now. They're 35-26. It could be maybe a game worse. I don't think it's that different. I don't think that Rudy Gay changes the outcome of this team all that much.
Ben Vince, how happy are you that we didn't trade for Rudy Gay and that we have the team that we have right now?
That can be the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That if we traded for Rudy Gay and if we knew that this could have been the team, I'd be so mad.
Yeah.
This is so much better than any of the Rudy Gay stuff we were talking about.
Feel worse for the people in that alternate reality because they don't even know.
They don't even know. They don't even sad.
They don't even know.
They don't even know.
Mary, did you know?
Yeah, you did. I mean, oh my.
Rudy Gay would Sunday play on the Thunder.
Oh, I'm about to quit the pod.
That has,
Mary, did you know that Rudy Gay?
Stop.
Let's immediately go to the next Twitter question. It comes from at KSums10, who wants to know, who is your favorite NBA team that is not named the Thunder?
Oklahoma City Thunder. They're not the Thunder.
The Durr.
Cool joke.
Okay, Andrew, who's your favorite?
I really love the Kings. I can't
even now.
I can't get enough of the Kings. Even now, they're just incredibly interesting to me. Also, the Lakers. I've been a Lakers fan for a long time.
And this is a good year to like the Lakers.
Is it?
Well, I mean, they're just fun to watch.
Yeah, they have fun.
Like
players.
Last year was ridiculous.
They have fun players. They're not a fun team.
No. I enjoy the Rockets this year.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching them play. I can't watch the Warriors.
No.
I love the Cavs, but I just love LeBron James. I'll always love LeBron James. Ugh. Any team he's on, I've always enjoyed watching. He's amazing.
He's very good.
And Kyrie is so good, too. He's super fun.
I like the Trailblazers, but my favorite this year is the Knicks because of all the drama.
There's a lot of drama.
Dun, dun, dun. Drama.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, our next and final. Actually, no, we've already answered that. Our last Twitter question. The last Twitter question is from Team Taco Corp. Who wants to know?
What did you just say? How did you not read that?
Team Taco Corp. Who wants to know, is Abrines fit with the starters, making Oladipo more likely to be moved in the summer, or would they use Vic as Harden light?
They want Abrines to develop a lot more. And unless there's like a deal in place for a really, really good player, like if Jimmy Butler came on the market and some reason they really wanted Victor Oladipo, they would obviously do that. But they're not going to deal Victor Oladipo just because they think Abrines is good. It's good to have lots of good players, especially that play on the wing. So Victor Oladipo is going to start when he comes back, whether it's tonight or against Dallas or even later next week. He's going to come back. He's going to start. He's going to play more minutes than Abrines. Abrines has been really good. His shooting has been really valuable, and they're going to find ways to get him on the court. But Victor Oladipo is still really good.
Yeah, he's really good. And if you think about players that are worth the value of Victor Oladipo, or players that you would want to put Vic in a trade package for, it's like Jimmy Butler, Paul George. I don't know who else is like a viable player that's kind of talked about. That's at that level. I mean, really, it's like Vic is really, really good, and he's a very valuable player, and teams will want that, but it's going to take a lot to trade Vic away.
Yeah. I don't think they plan to trade him unless it's for an upgrade.
Right.
So not even in the draft, because, I mean, if you draft a guy, then he has to develop at least 1, 2, maybe 3 seasons, and then Russell Westbrook's 30, 31. He's here to play for the Thunder unless he can upgrade the team via trade.
Hey, guys. I got a question for you.
Oh,
you moved? And are you paved?
So I don't think I've told you guys this story yet. When we were in Tulsa, there was a guy working the front desk that was like overly friendly.
Front desk of what?
Of the hotel.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The front desk of Tulsa.
The front desk of Tulsa.
When you check
Welcome
in.
To Tulsa. How can we help you?
So he's just like he knew my name, like that. And he's just like, hey, I hope that you're having a great night. Just want to make sure that you're having a great time here in Tulsa. Just want to make sure that I can just help you be as comfortable as possible. I'm like, okay, thanks, man. Great. And he said, what are you doing in Tulsa? I said, well, I do this Thunder podcast, and we're doing one downtown tonight. He said, oh, what's the Thunder?
What?
He had no clue. And so, like, that's fine. It's a basketball.
No, that's not fine. You live in Oklahoma.
It's a basketball team. They play. They're an NBA team. He just nods like he's from another planet. And then he asked me this question, and I've heard a lot of, like, really dumb Thunder questions. But this was the dumbest. He said, well, how many Thunders are there?
Oh, wow.
And I just was like, I guess there's one. There's like one team. They play in Oklahoma City.
What was he trying to ask?
He didn't know. I didn't know. He didn't know. He's just trying to make conversation because he was just trying to be too nice.
Yeah, that's too much.
Right?
You should have just thrown a quick, yo, man, go to hell. Walk off.
I was like, yeah, it's one team of basketball players in Oklahoma City. They're Russell. Okay, have a good night.
Yeah, and it bummed you out, huh? Were you a little bummed out
I was just like, I just can't believe that. Like, how can you live in Oklahoma? How can you live in the United States and not know about the NBA or basketball? I mean, there's just a lot of people out there that just don't know.
I think he just had a high guy. I think he was just on drugs.
Or he's just playing you.
Oh, that's true. No, you were being videotaped, dude.
What is that?
No.
I would have been like,
It's good to see you.
I was just like, wow.
Yeah, my hotel experience was not. I would rather have had a guy that was overly chatty than our guest relations people that were just like lost.
Dude, that's always the case at a loft.
Yeah, it was weird.
Oh man.
Well, I never want to be sponsored by a loft.
All right.
Anybody else got a myth to peeve?
No.
Luke just wants to just have the mic and talk to it.
I want, I have so many questions that I want to answer that you address specifically.
Go ahead. Here's a question that was asked, a Twitter question. When was the last time each of us has shot a basketball? This is asked by my brother.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter. And I think it's a good question.
Wednesday.
Yesterday. I don't know. It's been a minute for me. I don't play anymore. Maybe a couple weeks.
It's been years.
For you?
Years. Like maybe
not shocking.
Like maybe in college, I had there was basketball on court and I picked it up and tried to shoot a 3-pointer.
Is that the last time you threw a basketball?
Most likely.
We're going to do a down to dunk 3-on-3 tournament and the winner gets to play Luke.
Actually, in college, we used to play gotcha. I played gotcha.
In college. Luke is what? How old are you?
30.
Yeah. How long ago do you think Luke was in college?
So it was probably 9 years ago.
No way. Yeah. There wasn't a basketball at like a friend's house that you just messed around and threw like at a party or anything?
Probably not.
Hold on. Taylor, has that ever happened to you at a party?
Dude, you guys don't like,
hey guys,
drunk one-on-one tourneys at 2 in the morning?
Let's go outside and shoot on the hoop.
Actually,
well, you know that. Actually, last summer I shot a basketball into a basketball goal that was located inside a pool.
In a pool.
Technically, I shot a basketball.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Count it.
Last summer.
A year.
Summer's coming up again, and I'm a beast on the pool basketball court.
Taylor hasn't played in large part because of me.
Because it's stupid Jay.
I haven't opened the gym in a while. Because, you know, like, life.
Pool basketball is fun.
Hey, guys, I'm getting a Nintendo Switch today.
What is that?
It's the new Nintendo console. I'm very excited.
They're already having one?
That's a grateful and blessed.
I'm very grateful and blessed.
Do y'all remember that we're still doing a podcast?
Oh, my God. I thought we ended a while ago. I'm just talking.
Hey, you remember, we used to always end our pods like this, talking about real world or random things. Those were the good days.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Yeah.